My message tonight is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, and in verse 57 we read these words, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you will have realized by the end of today that Christianity is a religion of rejoicing, and that's especially true on an Easter Sunday. And you may wonder, why are we so excited, if I can use that word, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And why is this something that's not just true of Christians in this country, but it's shared across the world? I had a text message this afternoon from our brethren in Moldova saying, "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." And I replied with an amen. Now, this is what joins us together as Christians. And if you're not a believer yet, this is what you need to hear about. Why is it only Christianity that gives rise to singing? It's chanting that you have in other religions, and it doesn't sound very joyous. But when you have genuine Christianity, it's songs of praises that you hear. And it's not just the done thing, like the television program with that name, but it's heart, and it's real, and it's lasting. Why? Well, we have the answer in this verse, and I just want us to briefly look at it tonight. "But thanks be to God," there's the note of rejoicing, "which giveth us the victory." Well, that's a good enough reason to celebrate. We have a victory. Now, I'm no rugby fan or football. Well, especially not football. But when your side wins the match, as some of you witnessed yesterday, then there is rejoicing because of victory. Well, there is a victory that is more important than that, which we as Christians know something about. And now you may look at us and wonder, why on earth are you able to rejoice at a victory? You don't look like a victorious lot here tonight. You look very ordinary. Well, what is it that you are giving thanks for then? Well, here's the key, and this is what we need to consider. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, not in and of ourselves, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, that's what we need to concentrate on tonight. See Christ, the victor, raised in resurrection power. That's all I want to say in one sense. It's Christ's victory that we are looking at. That's why nobody's like us can celebrate. And that's why, my friend, there is hope for you as well tonight. Now, all we need to ask and answer is this: what was the victory that Christ wrought in his resurrection, and how does it affect me? Well, I've several things to say. What was Christ victorious over? Well, the first and the most obvious is death. There's a famous book which has one of the best titles ever, and it's called "The Death of Death in the Death of Christ." Isn't that a heartwarming title? Now, I don't know about you, but before I became a Christian, I always wondered about death. I wasn't interested in religion. I couldn't stand that. And if you're worried about religion, I've got every sympathy with you. But I wanted to know a piece concerning death, because we all have to reach that point where we leave this world behind? What's going to happen afterwards? And what human system, whether it's a religion or an ideology anything, what can offer me hope in terms of death? That's what I wanted. I must have something that deals with death. I don't want to shut my eyes to the reality of death. And then we hear these words. They were spoken to a person that was grieving, and it wasn't said in a light-hearted way. But listen to this. A person once trod this earth, and he spoke these words. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the first victory that Christ wrought by his resurrection. It's self-evident by dying on that cross. He tasted death for every person, and he died and was buried. These are historical facts. And he was in the grave for 3 days, but on the third day, he rose from the dead. The only person to have done that, conquering the last enemy. Now, that makes me rejoice tonight, that the one thing that I have to face one day, and I'm not going to beat it, Christ has conquered. There was a famous boxer in Merthyr. Well, there wasn't just one famous boxer in Merthyr, but several. But this man was particularly famous. And he died. And the minister that took the funeral spoke on the fights that this boxer lost. Death. Couldn't beat it. You can't win, my friend. If you're trying to escape death, it will catch up with you. I know doctors today are trying to keep people alive for as long as possible, and there is nothing wrong with that. But eventually, we all have to die. And I'm here to declare, not to do anything else, but just to tell you in a simple way that a man came into this world 2,000 years ago, and he died, but he rose again. He conquered the last enemy. Don't you want to believe in him if he can carry you through? That's the first thing he was victorious over, death. But then there's something else. You know, it's a glorious thing to be able to stand at the graveside and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And in saying that Christ has conquered death, I'm not saying that death will be easy for you. I can honestly say this. I'm afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me afterwards, because I know that Christ has conquered, but I'm still fearful of the process of dying. But when I read that the sting has been taken out of death, I get comfort. That's a lovely thought. I'll never forget being in a small room in Agra in India, and in that room were several cobras. And the cobra that came nearest to me was as far away from me as the front pew there. But you know, I needn't fear those cobras. their poison had been taken away. And you, my friend, may still, like me, be afraid of the cobra of death, but you need not worry. If you're in Christ, there's no more poison there. Now, my next point is this. Christ wasn't just victorious over death, because that's not just your problem. Death is just the consequence of something else. And we're told here that the sting of death is sin. You see, you may look at life in this world and you may think that it's just death that we've got to face, that there is nothing else to worry about. But I'm here to tell you what the Bible says, that it isn't just death that's against us, but what brought death into the world, and that's sin. And I know people don't want to hear about sin today, but without sin, there wouldn't have been death. Because God didn't make this world with death in it. God is life. Death came in as a result of a fall. And the cause of that fall was sin. Now, what's sin? We've all got the wrong conception of sin, because we tend to think of it as something that inhibits our freedom. And maybe you children will think of sin as simply breaking rules. Well, it involves that, but it's much more than that. It's a disease, a spiritual leprosy that contaminates everything. And it twists all that is good and noble. That's what sin is. God made this world perfect. It was beautiful. And he gave gifts to us. What does sin do? It perverts those gifts. It twists them. And that's why not just death, but diseases and conflicts and all the other heartaches that we find in life came into this world. They are all the result of sin. And the soul that sins will die. That's a law of God, just as you have natural laws. And I want to tell you this evening that Christ came to deal with your sin. You know, the sad thing about everybody is that they're trying to deal with sin in their own strength. Maybe that's you tonight. You have come to this place in order to be religious, and you are praying and reading your Bible and coming to church in order to try and break the power of sin. And you know it's not working. And if you don't believe in sin as I've defined it, you're still trying to live your life and trying to deal with these habits, which you don't call sin, but are still as binding as anything we read about in the Bible, and you're trying your best to unloose yourself from these chains, and you cannot do it. I know that you need Christ tonight, not just because of death, but because of the power of sin. And I know that there's that little voice of conscience within you which is accusing you and which is telling you that you need to do something about sin. And here is the announcement. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory over sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did he deal with our sin? Well, quite simply, by taking it upon himself. He became our substitute. If apparently a person is bitten by a poisonous snake, the way to get rid of that poison is for somebody else to come and to take a sharp knife and to cut an incision where the snake bit the person, and then to suck the poison out. And obviously not to swallow it, but to suck it out and then spit it out. Now, that's not a very good illustration, is it? But that's what Christ came to do with the spiritual disease of sin. He came and he took the poison of sin upon himself on that cross. And by doing that, he enabled you and me to conquer that terrible disease called sin. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Oh, listen to this. This is how he did it. He, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm only scratching the surface here tonight, but oh, I want you, as we'll be doing later, to survey this cross of Christ, how he, who had spent an eternity with his Father in perfect purity and bliss, how he came into this world and became one of us, a man, there is a real man, how he identified himself with sinners, and how he was considered a sinner. That's what happened on Calvary. God the Father, the Holy One, looked on his Son Christ as if he was the worst of sinners. I cannot get my mind around that. He didn't look on him as his Son, but he looked on him as one who had all the sin of the world upon him. And the only thing he could do was pour out his righteous anger upon his Son. And it was through becoming our substitutes, taking the punishment instead of us, that Christ broke the power of sin. He cancelled the debts by paying it himself. So that's the second enemy that Christ was victorious over. He did it. You don't have to struggle with sin anymore. By believing in Christ, he has dealt with your sin. That is something to rejoice in. I know of no other religion that can deal with sin. I pity you if you're still struggling with sin because you haven't believed in Christ. So death, dealt with, even though we have to die in Christ, we go through death to eternal bliss. Sin, yes, you'll still have to fight it once you believe in Christ, but he has dealt with it in terms of its mortal blow. This isn't a good illustration, but he has, just as he's taken the sting out of death, so he has made sin by taking it upon himself. He has made it more harmless. I'm not putting myself very clearly, but what I'm saying is this. If you trust in Christ as the one who has dealt with your sin, you will still feel a sinner. You will still have to fight with it. But he will have taken upon himself the curse for your sin. And then what else? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Well, what's this, you ask? I've come here tonight to hear about Christianity and about the victory Christ can give me. What is the law? What has that got to do with it? Everything. You see, when we sin, we break the law of God. Not the law of the land now, but the Ten Commandments of God. And the result of breaking the law is the curse of God is on us. So it's not just that we are mortal. It's not even just that we have this disease of sin, but that we're in danger. We're under condemnation. The law condemns us. And if we remain like this, when we die, it's not just that it's tragic, but we will go to eternal hell. And in the immediate sense, that is your greatest enemy. That you're guilty, and that you need to be saved, not just from death and sin, but from hell, the consequence of a broken law. Now, can I be as plain as I can with you? That's why you need to be saved tonight. That's why I'm pleading with you not to stay where you are. That's the worst position to be in. You know, something has to happen to you if you are to be saved. You're not born a Christian. Nobody is. If you're brought up in a Christian home, you still have to respond to this message concerning Christ. If you've been coming to church for a long time, that doesn't make a single difference. Indeed, it makes your position worse if you don't believe in him. That's why we've all got to be involved here tonight. Your eternal destiny is at stake. Can't you see that hell is real? You're only given one life. And this may be your last opportunity to flee from the wrath to come. I'm trying to help you here by being objective. You know, if, say, for the sake of argument, you were to be in an accident and you were to die, that's it. Am I being too theological if I'm putting it like this? There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. Once you've died, and once you have to face God as judge, and you, having broken his law, are under the curse and are going to hell, once you're there, your position is never going to change. You're going to be there forever. And when you've come to the end of an eternity, another eternity will begin, because eternity will never end. You know, whatever problems you're facing in this life, and I know many of you have more problems than I have, and I don't want to be getting at anybody, but I just want to make you see sense here. Whatever problems you have in this life, right? If you imagine 80 or 90 years, you're not going to have those problems for that long, but this is our lifespan. Maybe imagine it to be the same in dimension as this desk here. So this is my life in this world. Now, one day I have to leave this world and I have to stand before a great eternity. And if I'm not right with God, I will face eternal condemnation. For how long? Is it just a matter of spending a lifetime in purgatory until I'm cleansed and ready to go to heaven? No. You're going to spend thousands of years there, the same size as this church. Now, if you're going to spend thousands of years in eternity, is it not better to make sure that your eternal state is secure? But it's not just 1,000 years. It's millions of years, the same size as Cardiff in comparison to this desk. But it's not just 1,000,000 years. It's forever. I cannot make you see it, can I? It's too great for us to fathom. Now, the good news is this. Christ has dealt with the curse of hell by being made a curse for us. He was victorious over that enemy. If you're in Christ, you need never fear being under the wrath of God. He is the propitiation, that's a big word, but it's important, for our sins. What does it mean? Have you seen the space shuttle? You younger ones, have you ever seen the space shuttle? I remember when I was in primary school that the space shuttle flew on its first mission. That shows how old I am. Now, I'm told that on the space shuttle, there are propitiation tiles. Does that help you understand propitiation? Because when the space shuttle has to re-enter Earth's atmosphere, the heat is too great for ordinary tiles. They would just melt. So these propitiation tiles deflect the heat away from the tile. That's what propitiation means. Deflecting. And Christ, by shedding his blood on the cross, by being our substitute, by tasting death for us, by taking the anger of God upon himself, he deflected it away from us. Oh, isn't that a reason for rejoicing? The victor dealing with the curse of a broken law. So death, hell, and the curse are no more in Christ. We sung about it. I haven't got enough words. The reign of sin and death is o'er, and all may live from sin set free. Satan hath lost his mortal power, 'tis swallowed up in victory. Saved from the legal curse I am, my Saviour hangs on yonder tree. See there the meek expiring lamb, 'tis finished, he expires for me. There remains no more sacrifice. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once was enough for him to accomplish this victory. Are you in him, accepted in the well-beloved and clothed in righteousness divine? I see the bar to heaven removed, and all thy merits, Lord, are mine. Death, hell, and sin are now subdued. All grace is now to sinners given. That's the good news. That's why we stand on Queen Street preaching this gospel. It's the only answer to the needs of this world. That's why we have missionaries in other countries where there are other religions. Those other religions don't deal one whit with these things that stand against us. It's Christ alone. And that's why, as I come to a conclusion, I want to ask you, are you more than conqueror through Christ? How can I say, thanks be to God, who's given me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, quite simply, by being found in Christ. Let me use this illustration. Two ships. There is the ship with Adam on the helm, our first parents. We're all in that ship when we're born into this world. And it's a great ship. And it's got many pleasures on board. But those people on it are not truly satisfied. They're trying to drown their sorrows with their pleasures. And that ship is heading towards certain disaster. Are you in that ship? On board it? If you've not done anything with Christ, you're still on it. You may be in church, but that's not the same as being in Christ. You're still on board that ship. And then here's the other ship. It's got Christ, the second Adam, on the helm. It may not look as plush as the other ship, but everybody on board is satisfied. And that ship is not just sailing away from disaster, but sailing to paradise. And nobody on board that ship were born on board. They all escaped from the ship with the first Adam at its helm, using the lifeboats to get to the second ship. And what I'm doing tonight is telling you about the second ship. I'm providing the lifeboats. That's what the gospel is about. You need not remain in the state you're in. You know that you have these things against you. Death, sin, hell. You know that unless something happens to you, you're going to be not just in a mess for this life, but for all eternity. And I want to tell you, my friend, you don't have to remain where you are. There's another ship which is taking you to paradise if you but go on board. And that there's a lifeboat provided. And that it's free of charge. And that there's enough room. And that's what it is to become a Christian. And to be able to say that the victory that Christ won is for me, as well as for other people. And all I want to ask you is this. Are you in Christ? You don't work your way to him. You know, if you had to go into that lifeboat to get to that other ship, you'd jump in. You wouldn't have any ceremony, would you? That's why I don't like ceremony in churches. The most important thing is that you're inside. It doesn't matter how you get to be inside. You speak to some people here who have been saved. Everyone will have a different story to tell, but everyone will have this same ending. I found myself in Christ. Some may not be able to remember when they jumped into the lifeboats. Others will remember the exact time and dates. Oh, don't stay where you are. But do something, not to save yourself. Christ has done everything. But do something in terms of believing in Jesus Christ. Because nobody here tonight, when they die, and if they find themselves under condemnation, will be able to say, you didn't warn us. You didn't sound the alarm. You didn't show me the means of escape. I have done that. And I don't want to be speaking to the air, I want you, whoever you are, to find yourself in Christ and to be able to say with the rest of us, and it is a glorious day this day, thanks be to God, which giveth not just us, but me of all people, poor me, the victory through not my own efforts, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us sing.